Let us turn again to the Psalms that we read together, to Psalm 84, and let us read again verse 5. Psalm 84 at verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Well, there you have a pronouncement, a divine pronouncement, an infallible pronouncement on those who are blessed in this world. The world has its own ideas of what is good, and you from time to time come across people, and whatever it is that has gone well with them, or whatever it is that they have been delivered from, they might acknowledge that they are very much blessed. Now, what they mean by that is it may be another matter. There may very well be no reference to God in their thinking. But, you see, here is how things really are. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. However weak they may be in themselves, however weak they may feel in before any duty, however weak they may feel in faced with some particular circumstances or other, their strength is in God. But as the psalm was saying, they are trusting in him. Well, what about ourselves? What's true of us? Have we the blessing that makes rich even for eternity? You see, that's the great matter. The blessing of getting to heaven at last. The blessing of being reconciled to God. We need that. And if we don't have it, but if we're not sure about it, then let us be seeking it. That's a blessing. To be given grace to seek the Lord while he may be found, and to call upon him while he is near. They that seek, we are told, shall find. That should encourage us. That should impel us to the throne of grace, where we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. The Lord is able to deliver us from all kinds of circumstances. Whatever it is that's worrying you, go to the Lord with it. Commit yourself to him. He has control of the whole of providence. Yes. He is able to save to the uttermost. He is able to deliver. We must bear in mind that we must seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And you see, this is not a matter only about ourselves. That's in it. That's very much in it. That's a great matter. But there's this far more, that we would get good for our own souls, and then it's a matter of those we love. We're to seek for them to get good. Our friends, those we know, colleagues at work, and we could enlarge the circle indefinitely. As David was doing, when he came to this, let the whole earth be filled with his glory, his saving mercy, the result of which is that God is glorified. And whatever we are wanting, we should seek that it would be for God's glory. Well, there's two very obvious divisions that we can use for our text. First, the man whose strength is in God. What's true about him? And then, the fact that that man, that person, which is just what it means, that person is blessed. What is it to be blessed? Well, perhaps we can say, it's this, that good things will happen to us. Things we don't deserve. Now there's a very great difference as we look on what are good things. What is a good thing? If we were to experience a good thing this evening, what would it be? Well, especially it's this. Whatever good things we might get in our ordinary affairs, the good thing is to get grace for our souls. To get grace. To get more grace. These are good things. That's what we should be pleading for above everything else. So, as we consider the one whose strength is in God, as I've said, and it's in verse 12, it's the man that trusts in God. Blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. That's how we get strength, you see. Trusting in the Lord, it's according to God's revelation of himself. And we'll say something about that. God revealing his goodness just now. In other words, God revealing himself as kind, benevolent. Whatever such word you care to use, we should be thankful for that. Hence, the great matter of our time in this world, it's an opportunity in God's long-suffering. It's an opportunity, you see, to get good things for our souls. Well, there's this matter about trusting, exercising faith in God. Exercising faith in him. Through Jesus Christ to me ascend. It's a great matter of receiving good things for our souls. Of course, faith, once it is established, is receiving many things. But I'm thinking just now about a sinner being saved by grace. The Lord looking down upon a sinner in mercy with a purpose of doing good to that sinner. And you see, we should be asking for that. Young people here, you should be asking for good things from God. Children, you should be asking for good things from God. What are the good things you should be asking for? A new heart. It is to trust in the Lord. There's so many good things. And let us be asking for that. And while there are special encouragements in the Word of God for young people, as in the encouragement, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the days draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I am no pleasure in them. I am no pleasure. Well, I don't think that's what a believing soul would say. I have no pleasure in what happened yesterday. I have no pleasure in what's happening today. I don't expect to have any pleasure in what will happen tomorrow. That's not a trusting soul. Rather, it's this. Whatever will happen tomorrow, Lord, give me strength for it. Lord, grant to help me to act in a godly way. Lord, help me to trust in thee in connection with my whole providence. Yes. But before the difficult days of old age set in, before a young person takes on responsibilities which they do not have when they are very young, the responsibilities of a family, the concern for a family, that sort of thing. When illness strikes, it can strike young people, I know. But, you see, old people are less resilient. They don't bounce back, so to speak, in the same way. And, to put it mildly, it's a great pity to go through life, without having a God near to them, one in whom they trust, hoping things will work out well at the end, or a little before the end. But what of the wasted years? What of the time missed to live to the glory of God, to do something for Christ in this world? Yes. And you see, as far as that is concerned, the Lord is telling us when we should come to Him. When we are young. And no one will ever look back sadly and say, I wish I hadn't come so soon to Christ. No one will say that. But many a one will say, I wish I'd come sooner. And will sinners be crying out in a lost eternity, I wish I'd come. I had the opportunity, and I wasted it. Well, blessed is the man whose strength is in God, not in themselves. And you see, I quote one of three very similar verses scattered throughout Scripture, but I'm in 1 Peter 2 at the moment, when the Lord is saying, I lay in Zion, a chief cornerstone. You see, the whole building is leaning on the cornerstones. It's leaning on the foundation generally, but particularly it would seem in houses in biblical times, there was a chief cornerstone. Well, whether or not in the house of God, there is a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. How difficult it can be for people who have been relying on something or someone, and it hasn't worked out. They were relying on someone to pay their debts, let us say. And he backed out at the last minute. But there's a chief cornerstone in the house of God, the house that God is building. Building when he takes a sinner out of Satan's kingdom and places him in the wall, so to speak, of the kingdom of God. I lay in Zion, I lay in the church of God, this chief cornerstone. What is it? Who is it? It's Christ. It's on Christ that we are to be leaning. It's on Christ we are to be trusting. That's what we're told. Oh, may the Lord give us grace. We need it. We need that the Lord would awaken us to a sense of our need so that we would despair. Now, I'm not putting a full stop after the word despair. We shouldn't despair. But we are to despair of finding salvation in ourselves. That's to trust in ourselves, and that's going to be an absolute failure at some point. We may deceive ourselves for some time, but it cannot last. We need this chief cornerstone. If we're trusting ourselves, we will be confounded. We will be brought to confusion. What confusion there must be at the gates of hell. Can I run away? The sinner might say, but where can I go? I cannot find a hiding place. I cannot find a place where I may seek salvation from my sins and from the wrath of the Almighty God, which is eternally before me. I need the chief cornerstone. That's what we should say. I need Christ. And no matter what the matter is, he can be trusted. You see, if we're trusting in ourselves, if we're trusting in some arm of flesh, then we're going to fall into confusion. We need Christ. Yes. And you might well say, if somebody was seeking or thought he had found salvation, and you're afraid that he hasn't, one thing you might say is, you need Christ. You need the chief cornerstone. Well, we need that anyway. That's not my point, though. My point is that especially if we had even a little concern about our souls, if we have been awakened to some degree, if to a sense that we need to be saved, then, you see, if that's what's true of someone, that person needs Christ. We all need Christ. He is able to save to the uttermost. There's a wonderful thing. People might things to lay hold in a Saviour that will help them a little. They might look to themselves and say, if I do this or do that, then I will be the better off it. I will be closer to the kingdom of God. The person needs Christ. Apart from Christ, there can be no salvation. Yes. What a fearful thing to be passing into eternity and no one to trust in. Never having made contact with the chief cornerstone. We need Christ. Yes. And you have that at verse 2, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God, not a false God, not myself, but the true God, the one who is alive. If we're looking to ourselves, we're looking to what is spiritually dead. That's not going to help us. There's no strength in that, you see. If we're going to be saved and we have some thought, some concern along these lines, then we need a solid rock to lean on, so to speak. We need the chief cornerstone. The chief cornerstone that has gone into the foundation of the building that God is rearing. Yes. What God has designed. That's a good way to look at it. God making provision from all eternity that there would be a building not made with hands, not of human construction, but planned out from all eternity in the goodness of God. That's it. Yes. But there was the psalmist. My soul longeth. Yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. What was there to draw him to the courts of the Lord? What was he thinking of? Well, no doubt it was because it was the place of sacrifice. And what a great matter that is. Pointing on to what happened outside Jerusalem when the Son of God in only 8 years offered himself up as a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice and to reconcile sinners to God. And as we think of that, how we might sing, how great's the goodness thou for them that fear thee keepst in store and wroughtst for them that trust in thee. The sons of men before, in the presence of others. Yes, but that's where the psalmist's mind was going. When sinners are pictured as being reconciled to God through the death of the sacrifice. Well, let us focus our attention in these New Testament times, particularly. Let us focus our attention on the provision that God has made for sinners. The provision that is suited to us as designed in the eternal mind for sinners. That's the thing. And whoever you are, whatever you have to say of yourself, however you should be thinking about yourself, here is a sacrifice that is suitable for you. Christ offered himself up in the place of sinners. He offered himself up as a sacrifice. What was he going to do when he went to Calvary? He was about to offer a sacrifice. Nobody understood that among the soldiers or the chief priests. No. The disciples had some very faint inkling of it. Some of the women seemed to have had a better grasp of it. Of course, a great difference came about in the thinking of his disciples after the resurrection, before the ascension. And 10 days later, they are absolutely fitted out, as it were, intellectually, spiritually, even more, to preach the gospel in a way that they had never done before. Think of Peter on the day of Pentecost and how he presents Christ as the Savior of sinners. The man whose strength is in God, that's what I'm at. The man who is the chief cornerstone, the God-man who gave himself a ransom for many, that was to be testified in due time. In fact, it's a ransom for all kinds of sinners. Nobody has any right to rule themselves out from the being one of those whom Christ came to save. No one has any right to say, Christ came to save me, until they have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, what the point I'm trying to make is this. Christ is a suitable Savior for everyone. And that's the way sinners should view it. That's the way we should view Christ and what he has done. A Savior suited to the likes of me. And therefore, let us come. There's the call of the gospel addressed to us. Let us not hold back. May the Lord give his grace. May we be seeking that. May the Lord give his grace to lay hold of Christ, in whom there is infinite strength. He is able to give all the strength that we need. You may say, I am weak. I have no power to believe in Christ. But think of this. He is able to save to the uttermost. He's there before the throne of God making continual intercession. Reach out your hands in it. I don't mean it literally. I mean it spiritually. Reach out the hand of your soul and take hold of Christ. In him is strength. He is the Boaz of the New Testament. And why do I make that comparison? It's because what I have just said is the meaning of the man's name, Boaz. In him is strength. And what did Ruth find when she found Boaz? When she was told to go to Boaz, he could provide for her needs. He could provide for her. He could be a husband to her. Well, not to linger on the Boaz of the Old Testament, but the one of whom we can say, in these New Testament times, yes, everyone would know who had the least connection with the truth that God had revealed. Everyone would know that there was strength in God. But here is that coming near to us. Christ taking our nature. Christ going to die What can you do in the weakness of hanging on the cross? In him is strength. He may be weak physically, hanging on the cross, but what did he do for the thief? What did he do? He gave him strength to believe. The thieves on the cross, they were suffering weakness through that horridly cruel way of putting someone to death. But in spite of all the real physical weakness, that was true of Christ. In him is strength. In him is spiritual strength. And when the thief on the cross, so to speak, touched Christ, I was going to say that he touched the hem of Christ's garment, but of course, Christ, and that was the shame that came from the sin he was bearing. He had no clothes left on him, but there was that spiritual touch of Christ. A spiritual touching of Christ. Well, you see, this is what I say to you here, sinner. This is what I say to you, child of God also. In him is strength. And although all you would do was to touch the hem of Christ's garment, he's gloriously clothed now. Gloriously clothed before the throne of God. Yes. Touch him though. He's got a righteousness to give. A righteousness for sinners. Sinners who have no righteousness. And there he is. And Christ is able to save to the uttermost. That's what we need. That's the kind of Savior that we need. And that's the kind of Savior that God has appointed. Oh, may we be seeking grace. Yes. May we be seeking Christ. He is the appointed mediator. Here we are, sinners. And there's God, the righteous, holy God. How can we get near to him? How can we be fit to enter heaven? What's this? A touch. A more confident touch or a less confident touch. But still, a touch that has something of the confidence of faith, receiving Christ as the Savior that God has appointed. Or think of it another way, and there's so many other ways. What you have in Proverbs 18, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. There's a tower. There's a door on the, at ground level, which can be shut from the inside. And it's as if the sinner runs in through that door. And commits himself to the care of the one who is in that strong tower, the Savior. And the doors are bolted, any number of bolts on the inside of the door, that is just a match. And no matter how much force is applied to the door from outside, Satan making any amount of noise from the outside, but he can't push the door in. The Almighty Mediator is in that tower, and the sinner who has ventured to enter while the door was open, that sinner is safe and will be safe forever. The sinner is safe. That's the promise of salvation. Come and I will give you rest. And when the sinner has come and entered into the strong tower, he can rest. He does not need to worry, so to speak, because of the one he has come to. That's what's true. Oh, sinner, if you have put your trust in Christ, whatever concerns you have, take them to him. Flee into the strong tower, the tower that cannot be knocked down, the tower that will stand all the attacks of the enemy. That's the safety of the people who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope that is set before them. Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Yes, that entereth in within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered. That's heaven, of course. Yes, blessed is the man. Though we'll come to that at some other time. But just now, the man whose strength is in God, and the strength that he has in God, and the strength that there is in God, that's what we're being sure. If we have understanding to receive of it, give me understanding and I shall live. There's the psalmist's prayer. It's a good prayer for us too. Or you might be saying, I don't understand. Well, go to Christ. Ask him for the Holy Spirit. Say, give me understanding and I shall live. Give me understanding and give me faith to receive these truths. Give me faith. I need thee. It would be a good thing if just now we were all saying in our souls, give me understanding. Give me thy blessing. Give me the blessing of the man that trusts in thee. Yes. The wonders of grace. The wonders of God's grace. That's what I'm trying to speak about. Just a little. We can only say a little. Eternity will be filled with an increase in understanding. You see, all the wonders of redeeming grace, all the wonders of divine love, and they will be opened up to the understanding of those who have been brought to eternal glory. All the wonders of redeeming grace. All the wonders of Christ in working out salvation in this world. All the wonders of the history of the Church of God on earth. There's many a thing that is sad. Sad in connection with the Church of God. And then there's the gathering in of sinners into eternal glory. The gathering in of sinners. And that's wonderful. Every individual case is wonderful. What we're told about the prodigal son is wonderful. Yes. But then, more or less, every sinner is a prodigal son. There may not have been an outward going to the far country. That might be. That's God's restraining grace. And God's kindness in not allowing that sinner to to go in as saints far away from the kingdom of God. Yes. And after all, that was the Saviour's expression to a particular individual. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And yet, evidently, he was outside that kingdom. Yes. And you have this description of the man whose strength is in God. It's this. He is one of them that walk uprightly. There's been a change. A change. They were on their way to a lost eternity. They were at heart rebels to God, resisting the gospel. But they were changed. They got a new heart, a right spirit. The Holy Ghost came to work in their souls. And what a change that makes. It's the new birth. And they begin to walk uprightly. They can join in with this. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my study all the day. Yes. It is my study all the day. It'd be good if we could say that, wouldn't it? To be studying God's word. But you see, it's in the light of that that a sinner will know what it is to walk uprightly. Not leaning to one way or the other, but walking uprightly. And that's just a figurative way of saying that this person is keeping God's commandments. At least that's his great desire, to be obedient, to run in the way of God's commandments. Yes. And how will they run in the way of God's commandments? They're weak. It's very easy for them to go wrong. They're so weak. But where's the strength? Their strength is in God. And whatever we think of our own position, whether we say, I'm too weak to come to Christ, I'm too weak to repent of my sins. I'm too weak to love God and serve Him. What's missing? It's this. We need Christ, to go back to that expression. And it would be a good thing for us to be confessing that before God. I need Christ to strengthen me. I need to be drawn. I need the working of the Holy Spirit in my soul so that I would lean on Christ. So that I might not be left to myself and go astray. We should all be afraid of going astray and asking to be kept. Now one thing is true, the Lord will not suffer those who are looking to Him to go astray completely. They will not go astray completely. That's what God has promised. And it's part of this, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And that's a pretty strong expression. I will in no wise cast out. No, in no way will I be cast out. But I'm thinking of the expression that is translated in that way. All I need to say is how strong an expression that is. Going away from Christ permanently is something that is being absolutely ruled out. And therefore, we should be trusting in Christ. We should be leaning on him. Yes. Our strength in Christ rather than ourselves. Our strength in Christ. Yes. And just think, if you can estimate it at all, how strong Christ is. Where is his strength? Well, no doubt you could say he has a strong humanity. But the real thing that should be said is, he is, in his divinity, he is infinitely strong. There's no weakness there. No weakness. Yes. We're speaking about those whose strength is in God. We're speaking about those for the moment who walk uprightly. And there was one of them. I think it was David. Psalm 28. Yes. The Lord is my strength and shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Whatever circumstances led David to speak in these terms, he trusted in the Lord. That's it. And however great our need might be, however great our consciousness of our need might be, still, let us look to Christ. He is able to hold us up. And David had a consciousness of that. And therefore, he trusted in the Lord. My heart trust. Perhaps we can interpret that as him saying, with all my heart, or wholeheartedly, it's the same thing, wholeheartedly, I trusted in the Lord. And therefore, what you should expect, I am helped. I am helped to take another step onward to eternal glory. I am helped to take another step onward away from the kingdom of Satan. Yes. I am helped. Only hold of that for yourself. Look to Christ. He came into the world to save sinners. He has exalted a prince and a savior to give repentance and forgiveness of sins. Isn't that what we need? The basic necessities for eternal life. By God's grace. By my God assisting me, I overleap a wall. Yes. Though in another picture, it's entering in by the straight gate. And alongside that, take this. In the words of the Savior, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They follow me into the kingdom of God. They follow me into the narrow way that leads to eternal life. Yes, seek the Lord. And whenever you get a statement like that, it's worth reflecting on. And it's worth praying over. And surely it is worth asking the Lord to take us by the hand and lead us on. That the Lord would make this attachment between us and him that is illustrated by the sheep following the shepherd. There's no physical attachment. And yet, there was divine power drawing that sinner and every sinner that comes to Christ. They are drawn by almighty power. into the kingdom. That's what we need. I'm saying that again and again, but you see, what I'm saying it on the basis of this, that there's so many different ways to illustrate the divine power, the power of the good shepherd in drawing the sheep to himself, or putting it another way, that he goes out to find them where they are. He puts them on his shoulders and he brings them back. Yes, they were so weak that he couldn't leave them to make their way back, even if, so to speak, he was present with them as he would be present. But you see, every little illustration, and every part of every illustration, has something in it to help us understand the work of the Good Shepherd in bringing back the sheep. Yes, and you could add that into the parable of the prodigal son. If you think of the father coming out to meet the sheep, the prodigal son when he's on his way home. But who started him on the way home? Was it the prodigal himself? No. It's by God's grace he was saying, I will arise and go to my father. Why does he go to the father? Because invisibly he has been drawn back home. He has been given an appetite to come home. He wanted to get away from his home. It was restrictive. He couldn't enjoy himself. He's got another mind now. He can enjoy himself even as a servant in the house. What a blessed willingness has been given to the sheep, the strayed sheep. The sheep that is still a goat, let us say. But a goat being made a sheep, however you illustrate it. Oh, the infinite power of the good shepherd in making sinners willing. Can we illustrate it from Abram and out of the Chaldees? He's told to go to another land. He's told to leave Ar, a place of gross idolatry, and go to Canaan. And away he went, willing to be a servant to the Most High God, willing to be a follower of this God that nobody knew about, basically. Yes, there was Melchizedek. And he met Melchizedek. But how few they were that knew the God who would be called the God of Israel. Yes. Well, blessed is the man whose strength is in God. We haven't really spoken of the blessedness of that man. And having spent so much long and part of the first head, we'll come back to this on another occasion, God willing. But just to say a word or two about the blessedness. They're on their way to heaven. Let us just list a few points just now. They're in the care of the good shepherd. And the blessedness was implicit in what I was saying in the verses I was quoting to. And on the way, if you're trying to get away from somewhere to go to another place, and there's all sorts of difficulties that arise when you're trying to get ready, but at last you say, we're on our way. That's blessedness when we relate it to spiritual things. Whatever delays there were, you went after other things. You forgot about these times when you were awakened to some sense of your need. You delayed in seeking the Lord. You thought there were other more important things to be seen to at that particular time. Well, if you have now found Christ, then we can say you're on your way to the promised land. You're on your way to heaven, made willing in the same way that Abram was willing to leave the place he was familiar with, to leave so many, I'm sure, of his friends and relations, and go out not knowing whither he went. Yes, blessedness. A provision made. We might have various needs, and the Lord in his goodness may provide for us. And we should thank God for his goodness. But this, a sinner setting out on his way to heaven, or her way to heaven, what blessedness. How great's the goodness thou for them that fear thee keep'st in store, and wrought'st for them that trust in thee, the sons of men before. Yes, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Come then to Christ, as he has said before you in that verse and in so many other verses of Scripture. There's salvation in him. There's blessedness in him. Do not let Christ pass by. You remember Bartimaeus. And he would cry out to Christ. He had a need. He had the need of his eyesight. Perhaps he was seeing, yes, he was seeing Christ as the Redeemer, as the Mediator, the Son of David. Yes, look to Christ. There is salvation in him, there is strength in him, and may the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy on us, Lord. Take each of us under thine own loving care. Bless thy word and do us good. Take to do with our souls. Reveal Christ to us and enable us to reach out and touch and receive benefit from saving mercy. Oh, may thy people come. May they touch him again and again and again with the touch of a living faith. Grant it, Lord. Grant thy blessing to us. Deliver us from all evil. Save us by thy grace. Be with us through this week. Grant to bless thy cause. Build it up. Help us to remember what we have been thinking about. And plead with thee for mercy. Keep us, care for us. Draw us by thy grace, for Jesus' sake. Amen.